같아요.
Hello, welcome back to the Hard Factor 91.3 Nigeria Infield here in Port Harcourt. I'm Dayo. 7 minutes come past 4 p.m. Conversation continues. Many thanks for staying tuned. The matter will discuss it next. Let's go with the version cut to Premium Times. I'll consider state pardon for Sanawiwa other Ogoni leaders, Buhari. President Muhammadu Buhari said he would consider granting state pardon for Ken Sanawiwa and 8 other Ogoni leaders executed by the Sani Abacha-led military administration on November 10, 1995. Accused of being responsible for the murder of 4 Ogoni chiefs at the pro-government meeting, Mr. Sanawiwa and others were sentenced to death by hanging by a special military tribunal. Several Nigerians believe Mr. Sanawiwa and the others were framed up for the murder because of their impactful non-violent campaign against all extraction and continuous degradation of the Ogoni land by the government-backed multinational oil companies. Mr. Buhari on Friday spoke about Mr. Sanawiwa's execution, the need for, quote, clemency and national integration as part of this administration's bid to lay the foundation for genuine reconciliation and bring closure to the issues of Ogoni land, end of quote. He said this when he received some leaders and people of Ogoni at the presidential villa in Abuja. Also, he said, quote, the unfortunate incident of the early 1990s leading to the loss of lives of distinguished sons of Ogoni land and the collateral judicial processes are indelible in our memories. In spite of the grievous circumstances, the federal government will consider the request for the grant of pardon to finally close the Ogoni saga. And he asked, I think let's leave it at that, the issue of state pardon or the proposition because it's not been granted yet. The president is saying he will consider it, the proposition of a state pardon. But that statement has elicited a lot of responses from Ogoni leaders, elders as well, throughout the entire country, and especially even coming from Ogoni land itself. There have been plenty of reactions about this statement or this proposition of a state pardon for the Ogoni 9. I think even earlier on the news today, we had something on that on our bulletin. If I could just get a quick look at that. Even the board of directors of the Ken Sarawiwa Foundation says they will not accept the proposal by President Muhammadu Buhari to grant pardon to Sarawiwa and 8 Ogoni activists. The foundation, in a statement signed by Owen Wiwa, asked President Buhari to grant the earlier request for the exoneration of Sarawiwa and 8 others made by the family of the late activist. They said Ken Sarawiwa and the other 8 Ogonis were not criminals, but activists killed for fighting for a just cause. On Friday, the president, of course, did say he will consider the request to grant them pardon. Well, like I said, there have been plenty of reactions to this. Others saying that they want the federal government to tender an apology to not just their families, but the entirety of Ogonis. And they don't want a pardon, rather they want exoneration. Well, what exactly does even a state pardon mean? Let's look at it legally now, not just sentimentally or emotionally. My guest who's joined me for this conversation in the studio is a lawyer. He's also the national spokesperson, I believe. National Legal Advisor. Apologies for that. National Legal Advisor for the Committee for the Defense of Human Rights, Henry Akinne. Henry, good afternoon to you. You're welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Very good afternoon. I appreciate being here again.
All right, great. So let's get right into it then. What's a state pardon?
Well, a state pardon is a grace or a forgiveness with the implication that would have obliterated whatever offense or sin that the beneficiary may have committed. And it is stating to the extent that the power is vested in an authority of the state through an instrument of either a law or a constitution, vesting that power on that state authority to excise. In the case of Nigeria, of course, other countries, the constitution vests that power in certain authorities of states. At the national level is the president, and then at the sub-regional level or the state level is the governor. And so that power is exercisable by that authority upon someone who may have been found culpable or convicted of some kind of infraction and offense by a legitimate process, so to speak, because the implication also is that the process must have taken place and then someone must have been found guilty or culpable and convicted. Then the states, for certain considerations, could have to consider that person forgiven, and then the grace of states pronounced upon that individual, with the very significant implication that it does appear that offense has been blotted out, erased, and completely cleaned of your record.
Okay. Now, what is exoneration in law? Is there such a thing as, I mean, there is the word exoneration, no doubt, but we're not concerned about English definitions now. Is there a thing such as exoneration in law? If there is, what is it?
I am not sure that I've come across such expression, even to have a different meaning, particularly in the context of what we're discussing in any of the laws, even to the extent that one will give a different interpretation. I am not sure that as such expression as exoneration, like you said, it is a word, but whether it is such legal word in any instrument of law or legal framework to have that kind of interpretation. So exoneration is not what it is. It could have other expressions like prerogative of mercy or pardon, which is actually what in the extant provisions of our law is expressed, but that's what it means. Exoneration has a different implication. Even if when you want to give it a literary meaning, it will not mean exactly what pardon or prerogative of mercy would be.
But you used the word context just a while ago. So, of course, exoneration could mean several things, as most words do anyway. It depends on the context in which you use it. But in the context of this particular conversation or this incident, so I did a Google search, pardon me, of the word exoneration, and this is what I came up with. The action of officially absolving someone from blame, vindication. And then something more elaborate here from Wikipedia. Exoneration occurs when the conviction for a crime is reversed, either through demonstration of innocence, a flaw in the conviction, or otherwise. Attempts to exonerate convicts are particularly controversial in death penalty cases, especially where new evidence is put forth after the execution has taken place. Now, this definition, because this speaks to a legal perspective, a legal context, this Wikipedia definition, is it the same thing as a state pardon?
With the context you have read, exoneration could have same implication. But it therefore means, even getting to understand this clear, it doesn't have a difference. So it's not one that could be preferred against the other, really. Because, like I explained, the implication of the pardon or exercise of the prerogative of mercy of constituted authority is to obliterate, to take away, to blot out, to clean, or as it were, as though the beneficiary of that proclamation, of that order, never committed that offense. Then if exoneration has expounded, particularly the interpretation by Wikipedia, it means that it has the same implication. So it's probably then just a matter of choice of word. The essence, the actual thing, is that someone may have been found culpable or guilty of an offense. And then if the issue isn't about challenging that process of finding or the jurisdiction of the body that found that person culpable, those would have been issues you would try out on appeal and all that. Now you've exhausted all the supposed procedures or steps of appeal, and then it has become the standing position that you have been convicted. Whether alive or dead, the state can exercise that prerogative and then pardon you of that infraction. And like I said, the implication is as if you are free of it. So whether you say it's by exoneration, you prefer to express by that language, or is by pardon, or is a mercy, or is a grace. But then the implication is the substance of the issue.
What if we have a scenario where it is absolutely proven? Well, I mean, I use that word, that expression, very lightly. But it is, okay, I think I'll change that. It is widely accepted that the process that led to the conviction was flawed, because proven may not have been in court. And if it's not in court, it can't be proven. Am I right? So let's say it is widely accepted. It is the popular opinion that the process that led to that conviction was faulty. The conviction should never have happened at all, as a lot of people have regarding the Ogoni 9 situation. Is there any instrument besides a state pardon, which you've identified is even codified in our laws, is there any other instrument available to the president beyond a state pardon by which he can grant some kind of succor or solace or vindication, if you will, to the memories of the Ogoni 9 and to their family and loved ones and supporters who are alive right now?
There's none. And that's why they say, this actually would have been a judicial power, but it's the one judicial power that is vested in the executive. And outside this, there is no other such power in the executive to vitiate or vary the finding of the judiciary. I mean, the executive to vary the finding of judiciary. So if a procedure of adjudication or arbitration or any form of determining the culpability of anybody being a judicial process, and if you think at the time that there was anything wanting, what you needed to do, if it is not at the very peak of the appellate court, then you need, the only opportunity you have was to go on appeal from one level of the courts until you exhaust your appeal at the Supreme Court.
In this particular case, I'm not sure the option of going to appeal court or Supreme Court was on the table.
In this context, or when the time when it was?
In this context, when it happened.
When it happened, I'm afraid that all the history we have had, there's never been a time that the opportunities for appeal against any finding of any tribunal or any court has never been appealable. The fact as to whether the finding of the tribunal at the time was subject to appeal, and if the probably the legal team of those souls rest in peace, whether their legal team actually explored opportunity of appeal, I really can't say and can't tell. But I do know that all the courts at all times that have been established in this court in this country, including tribunals, their findings were subject to appeal except until the Supreme Court. Let's take on general context. If you are found guilty, say for example, for murder at a lower court, you know, Dio, this power cannot be exercised until you exhaust all levels of appeal that's available unto you. And until even those appeals are determined, they must not be subsisting. So if you even have an appeal against the conviction to murder and you are the court of appeal, and perhaps before the determination of that appeal, no exercise of prerogative of mercy can validly be taken out, whether by governor or by the president. It is until that appeal must have been determined, exhausted completely. Even when it's been determined at a level that is yet an opportunity for you to appeal further, assuming it is the court of appeal, upon determination of an appeal at the court of appeal level, say for instance for murder, and you have another opportunity to probably appeal against that decision of the court of appeal at the Supreme Court, prerogative of mercy cannot. So it means it's at the very last option that the judicial process may have been exhausted. So the prerogative of mercy left in the executive, and that's the only option the president has. The president could not have ordered a turn of the decisions of the tribunals or the court. It doesn't have such power.
Even if it is widely believed that that decision was made in
error. Was flawed, no.
Now, where does apology or... Is there, in the scheme of things, in our polity, in our laws, is apologizing or the apology have any role or any, does it come into play in any way?
Apologies really could be a thing of emotional expression in general context. But I think the only point I know that the Constitution was extant and provides for apology is in respect to enforcement of fundamental rights. So that beyond the demand for damages in the fundamental rights enforcement procedure, it is required that the agency or the individual that breached the rights of the applicant can also be required or ordered by court to publicly apologize to that individual. But otherwise, public apology could also be considered appropriate, really. And I agree also in this context, beyond the proposed pardon, apart from the presidential pardon in power, I think the president can also very publicly apologize where the state has gone perceivably wrong in some regard. But like I said, fundamentally, even when the state of Nigeria today agrees, perhaps, with the agitators of those that feel that those who go in line were actually not culpable if the process were thorough and fair, what the state would at best do is to grant this act of leniency and then this pardon and perhaps beyond what could possibly be is to apologize.
So if the president or the entire country were to apologize right now, it would not carry the weight and effect that a state pardon would.
It wouldn't. Yes, it's very, very important, very instructive. Okay, assuming you want to have both options and then you have to choose one, it's okay, let me just publicly apologize. It does not have any significant effect comparable to a pardon. Take, for instance, assuming we were not talking about people who have been executed here now, the effect of the pardon would have meant that every implication or limitation, restriction that would have followed that verdict is taken out. That could best be situated in the LMSAS case and Obasanjo's case and probably any other person who was living and has been pardoned. Now, when Obasanjo was convicted, or LMSA also convicted of corruption, corrupt practices, enrichment, they had limitations and restrictions that they couldn't have done certain things. For instance, in our laws, if you are a convict ordinarily without a subsequent pardon, you probably cannot contest for public offices. You see, you have that restraint. You still bear that burden. But to show clearly that pardon means that it has taken away that culpability as if it never existed at all, it has the effect of even taking away those restrictions and those limitations. And that's the extent to which Obasanjo was able to run the elections in 1999 and became the president of this country, even after being convicted. And that's also the extent to which Miso, rest in peace, the former governor of Bayelsa State, Alamaesia, after he had the pardon in 2013, I believe, he could be anything. And that's why he could work even in the state house with the former president and could get so close. You could run any other position. That's is the demonstration of the implication of a pardon, assuming it was a mere apology. So I think situating both, I could express apology to be mere comparative to the effect of pardon.
Still has Facts 91.3 Nigeria Info and Harry Potako discussing a proposed pardon to be given to the Ogoni Nine and the reactions of persons of Ogoni extraction as well to them. My guest is Henry Kinesi, lawyer. We'll go for a commercial break now. We'll return shortly. Conversation will continue. We'd like to get your take on the matter as well when we return via the usual platforms. Do please stay with us. Welcome back. Still has Factor 91.3 Nigeria Info and Harry Potako. I'm Dio. We've got 26 minutes to go before 5 o'clock. The news update is up at 5. Before then, however, discussions continue on the earlier matter or the same matter being discussed in this hour. I'll consider state pardon for certainly one other Ogoni leaders, Buhari. The president said he would consider granting state pardon for Ken Sarawiwa and 8 other Ogoni leaders executed by the Sani Abacha-led military administration November 10, 1995. Accused of being responsible for the murder of 4 Ogoni chiefs at the pro-government meeting, Mr. Sarawiwa and others were sentenced to death by hanging by a special military tribunal. There's been lots of reactions to that with various Ogoni groups and leaders and elders well, expressing their displeasure at the statement, saying they'd rather want exoneration. However, we're taking a legal perspective to it. My guest, once again, National Legal Advisor to the Committee for the Defense of Human Rights, Henry Kinney, is in the studio. Henry, you're welcome once again.
Thank you, Dario.
And our conversation so far suggests, or might I say, proves very strongly that the only instrument available to the president at the moment to grant any recourse to the memory of the Ogoni Nine or their surviving families, friends, or supporters, followers, is a state pardon, and which is more or less synonymous with exoneration as well, especially in this context. And even if the president or were to issue an apology right now without a state pardon, it amounts to absolutely or more or less nothing, really. If that's the case, if the president, and you established a while ago, Henry, that the president cannot unilaterally, single-handedly just wake up tomorrow morning and decide to reverse or upturn the decision, any judicial process, even if that judicial process was in the military era by a military tribunal, the president cannot do that.
No, he cannot. Clearly, you cannot. We run a constitutional system, and the powers of the Federal Republic of Nigeria under Section 4 of the Constitution are such that you do not, the executive, clearly, in our Constitution, cannot perform judicial functions. The judiciary cannot perform executive functions. The legislature cannot perform those other functions. What is in the resemblance of the judicial function that the president would have performed in this contest is what the legislature has provided under Section 175 of the Constitution to allow the president to exercise some mercy and grace upon someone that the judiciary has finished scrutinizing whatever allegation that was preferred against that individual. And so it is to that extent alone that the president can either mitigate or reduce or completely obliterate any finding of a court against any individual. So beyond that, the president can't do any other thing.
While the president cannot overturn the decision of any judicial process, is the option of going to court, possibly appealing that decision, might that still be open to anyone who intends to follow that path?
After about 25 years or more, I doubt really seriously. And like I said, I do not know whether that opportunity was explored at the time the tribunal. I can only recall when I was following up then, much younger a bit, was just about the tribunal. So I really can't be certain whether after the verdict by the tribunal then, if the legal team of the Ogoni Nine, particularly Ken Saro's legal team, explores any opportunity of an appeal. And whether there was such an opportunity, I really can't say. But what would have happened in any case that someone is found guilty at the trial stage is an appeal.
And even if that option were available now, were still on the table, assuming it were, it's not up to the president or the federal government to follow up with that process.
No, it's not. It would have been the individual. And again, there's even another very complicated issue here that the individual has been executed. So let's probably take a scenario where someone is alive, like Obasanjo, if we were to challenge his, or any other person who has been found guilty and then seeks to probably approach the courts again for a review of the decision of the court, then that probably would have been easier. Like I said, you can actually approach the court even after judgment may have been entered to ask the court to review the judgment. But there are conditions. There definitely would be grounds for that application. Why are you asking the court that probably has finished in law is functus officio, he has finished his job and has delivered judgment, there must be grounds for you to come back to the court to ask the court to review that judgment, probably with the effect of obtaining the judgment. Was it obtained by way of fraud, or did the court not have the jurisdiction to entertain that matter in the first instance? Were there a misleading of the court deliberately by presenting probably false facts by the other party, because certainly sometimes if you conceal certain facts, and particularly when you obtain judgment by fraud, that judgment can be set aside. Not necessarily on appeal, you could see. It could be a procedure that you can apply to the court and show cause why the court should revert itself or even to review that judgment. And then another would have been a quasi-judicial process of what we call judicial review of decisions, either administrative decisions or even decisions of lower courts. So you could approach a court to ask the court to review the decision of a tribunal or of an administrative body or even a lower court. And then that review by a superior court can actually lead to upturning the position that the lower court, or a superior court rather, by a superior court could upturn the position that a lower court may have taken or a tribunal may have taken. That, I do not think, is available at this moment. And if it is, who will approach the court in that regard? Just as you cannot take a dead person to court, a dead person can also not sue.
You're welcome to join the conversation right now. The lines are open. Call 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003, and 0817-923-0007. A reminder, we're live on Facebook as well, on facebook.com/NigeriaInfoPH. Also receiving your contributions via WhatsApp. That's 0809-030-6416. Remember to keep your contributions brief and straight to the point, and once a call is answered, do endeavor to turn down the volume of your radio set, else we literally cannot have ourselves a conversation. I got a few comments via WhatsApp. We'll be checking those out in a moment. But once again, 0809-030-6416 is for WhatsApp. Call 0817-923-0002 or 0003 or 0007. We got Akan from Bury. Hello, welcome. Go ahead.
Good evening, Dario.
Hello, go ahead.
Good evening, Barry. Yes, my name is Akan.
Hello? All right. Once again, WhatsApp on 0809-030-6416 via WhatsApp. Please, was it wrong of late Governor of Oyo State, Senator Ajimobi, who granted a state pardon to the female lawyer who was convicted of manslaughter of her husband? She was sentenced to 7 years imprisonment, but the High Court, however, granted a state pardon. Consider your explanation on the president or governor's powers to grant pardon. I'm not sure what you mean by this. I'm not sure what this person is trying to ask, really, because I think the issue of a state pardon has been explained extensively. Especially at the standard conference. But let's assume the person is asking if a governor can grant a state pardon. I want to assume that's what the person is asking. Can a governor grant a state pardon?
Yes, the governor can. Under Section 212 of the Constitution, it's a similar provision in respect to the governor as it is under 175 for the president.
All right. We got Leko on the line. You're welcome, Leko. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Dayo. I agree entirely with the erudite and the illuminating submissions of Henry Kinney. But I must say that pardon is out of this equation, because a pardon by Black Law Dictionary, 6th edition, page 1113, is an executive order, executive action that mitigates or set aside punishment for a crime. So in this case, we are the contention is that the sovereign wealth does not commit any crime in the first place, for which the president can exercise that prerogative of mitigating his punishment. So the proper remedy is to set aside a process that will set aside that trial and conviction, particularly when they were denied of their constitutional right of appeal. And I have no doubt in my mind that based on the quality of judges at the appellate and at the Court of Appeal and the Supreme Court at that time, they would have expected to quash the entire proceeding. Just the same way that in Bello against Attorney General of Oyo State, where a convict was denied the right of appeal, and the court of appeal and the Supreme Court set aside the entire trial. So the people who are handling this case should go by judicial procedure to set aside the entire
The case you cited of a convict who was denied the right, his right of appeal. Who was the person that initiated the process at the appeal and Supreme Court?
You cited
the case of some person who was denied the right of appeal, and then you said that the matter eventually got to the appeal court and Supreme Court, and the earlier judgment was
just a moment,
and you said the earlier judgment was quashed. So,
yes.
Who initiated the appeal and who took the matter all the way to the Supreme Court?
Bello has been executed before his relations took up the matter to the Supreme Court and to appeal the Supreme Court.
So,
to the best of my knowledge.
So it was not the state that did that then. It was the family members who did that.
It was not the state. It was the relations of Bello that complained about his right of appeal.
Okay, so that still speaks to what Henry in the studio has said. I agree with him entirely. Okay.
Thank you, Dio.
You're welcome. Great to have for me. We got all right. HK was on the line from Station Road. Do you want to speak to that?
No, I think you're right. Like I said earlier, I really didn't know if they made an attempt to appeal and they were denying their right to appeal. That's the part I actually can't cross. Whether at the time the tribunal made its findings and then that they wanted to appeal and then they were denied the right of appeal. And then if there was also a fundamental issue of denial of right of fair hearing, it would have been a ground for that appeal. But right now, we are in a situation where there was never an appeal and there is still no appeal. And I agree with him, of course, a colleague, that it is only by that process which you were trying to examine whether there is still an opportunity for them to go on. But not the president, not the executive. It has to be a judicial process.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines or WhatsApp, or even Facebook for that matter, via WhatsApp. Hello, my understanding of a pardon based on the analysis of the ex-US president's power to pardon as he was leaving office. One, he can pardon convicted people and pardon people with pending cases, and even pardon people on a premeditated basis, pardon for a future case. Two, a pardon even when the person is yet to be convicted of a crime. The assumption will be that you are guilty of that crime and then pardon. Three, exoneration. I think should be on the judiciary level, indicating that you have been found innocent of what you've been accused of, even after a prior guilty verdict and subsequent punishment based on new evidence or disqualification of existing evidence sometimes can lead to reparations. That's from BOB. That's very much in alignment with what Henry's been saying thus far as well. Mark Paul goes, hello, that to the best of my knowledge, Sarah Wiwa and the others were found guilty and sentenced to death, even though a vast majority still believe they might have been framed, such as yet to be tried in a court of law. Whatever the case may be, we need to understand that in the context of the issues which led to the hanging, few Ogoni leaders were murdered by a mob. Those families are also human, for which the decision to hang the guilty served as closure. If the government now thinks the decision to hang those convicted was an error, does this mean the families of those murdered chiefs no longer deserve closure? That's a Mark Paul. Well, Mark Paul, that's not a matter for legal consideration, I suppose. But thanks for your contribution as well. Okay, let's see. Do we have anything? Don't have anything via Facebook at the moment. Well, I suppose not. Anyways, still via WhatsApp. Now, remember that they were accused of killing the Ogoni Four. Have they been cleared of this accusation? Did they prove beyond reasonable doubt that they did not commit this? This crime? Well, Henry, as you mentioned a while ago, and it's interesting, we always have to do this back and forth when it appears something has been believed, Ben, is very clear. But you did talk about this clearly. A pardon simply states the question of whether or not the person committed the crime no longer is a valid question. Am I right?
Yes, indeed. But again, there has to be a conviction, really, for this pardon. But the effect is that this conviction or the consequences of the conviction have been lifted. have been blotted out. One of the arguments really around the presidential pardon and then the prerogative of mercy has actually been what one of those responding has raised, and that's the issue of justice. Justice is not just for one person. Now, it's not about the propriety of the verdict. It's not about the procedure really here that is being examined. Like I said, the executive does not have the power to examine the procedure. The executive does not have the power to obtain the verdict, the outcome of that procedure. Now, what about those who suffered the acts of that person that was convicted? It's been a serious issue across the world in the discourse on pardon. What's would have happened, which we do not have in our own law, in our own constitution, would have been comparable to what is in the situation in India, that if you are dissatisfied with the pronouncement of the executive on pardon of anyone convicted, then you seek to review that proclamation itself. But in our own context, we do not yet have any procedure for judicial review of the pardon, the exercise of pardon, either by the president or by the governor. So it appears to be an almost absolute power, though discretionary. But the next step that our own provision has created to put a check on possible abuse, though there are still abuse of the exercise of that power, is that the president or the governor must do this in consultation with the Council of State. Now, it could mean, therefore, that this proposal, this intention to make a pronouncement of pardon on Ken Saro-Wiwa may be discussed with the Council of State. And then if at the end of the day, the president makes that proclamation and issues that notice and is gazetted, then, of course, the pardon takes effect. And one cannot expect more of the executive, because the executive really does not have the power that some of us seek to ask them to exercise. That would have been a judicial power. Really.
Now, even that conversation with the Council of State is simply...
it's advisory.
Advisory, basically.
Yes, the president
is not bound by what the Council of State...
Yes, but within the purview of our laws yet.
Must he discuss it with them?
He shall discuss with them. That's the expression. There's an expression of shall there, that shall consult, that shall be in consultation with the Council of State. So it is satisfying to just have that discussion with the Council of State.
But in literal terms, it could just be a case of for your information.
probably.
Anyways, we do have to wrap this up right now. I do hope very much that the families of the Ogoni Nine, via some instrument available to us, either state pardon or even a proclamation of apology to the families, you know. I hope that eventually, someday at some time, they're able to find closure and we can move on. And whatever it is that's been, illegally done to not just the Ogoni Nine, but the entire Ogoni extraction and all of Nigerians for that matter, really, I hope we will find some closure eventually.
Well, indeed, this reprieve in some way, perhaps not quite satisfactory to the direct relatives to this gentleman, but it is. And that's why in the statement you read earlier, is even to bring much of this agitation and the issues around this to a close in some balanced way. It is somehow when you have... I know that here it appears to them not much of what has happened, because the man is in here. The outcome of that verdict that they are challenging led to the execution of the brother. If we're talking about a situation where someone is alive and probably just being restricted from public office, running public offices or appointments or anything, then you would have found a situation where this pardon would have meant a whole lot of a reprieve to him, as a matter of fact.
We'll have to wrap it up on this note. Thanks for listening, especially my guest in the studio, Henry Akinne, is a lawyer. He's also National Legal Advisor for the Committee for the Defense of Human Rights. Henry, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Dayo.